Okay, Perek Beis, Yeshua Ben Nun, you probably all recognize this Perek from the Haftarah. Haftarah Parsha Shlach. Is this Perek from Sefer Yeshua? Very, very difficult. Vayishlach Yeshua Ben Nun Menashitim Shnei Anoshim Meraglim Chorosh L'chugu U'sa'oros V'esirichoy. So Yeshua Ben Nun sends now Meraglim to seek out the land of Eretz Yisrael. Sounds familiar. Right? Sounds very familiar. Wasn't exactly a very good event. So even though we know that Yeshua Ben Nun did everything his Rebbe did, we spoke about that Barichas in the last parak. That was Yeshua Ben Nun's mission, to do everything his Rebbe implemented, to follow that path. But the Meraglim was a failure. The Meraglim was the biggest failure of all time. That means even after the Chet of the Egel Azov, we still were able to go into Eretz Yisrael. That generation, even the generation that was Nichshol with the Egel Azov, they were able to go to Eretz Yisrael. It was only after the Meraglim that we lost the ability to go to Eretz Yisrael, that generation. Unbelievable. From all the Averis in the Midbar, the only one that ultimately sealed our fate was the Meraglim. It was terrible, terrible event. That's number one. Lashaw. In the Midbar, that was the worst event that happened to us, was the Meraglim. But then you look at Chazal. Chazal say that the Meraglim came back on Tisha B'Av, right? The day when the Meraglim came back was Tisha B'Av. And they delivered a message to Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael cried. And Chazal say, Atem b'chisim b'chir sholchinam, chayechem, ani noisin lochem b'chir. Hashem tells Klal Yisrael, you cried for no reason. I'm going to give you a reason to cry. Basically Tisha B'Av. Which means that the Chet of Meraglim not only destroyed it for that generation, L'chor Moshe Rabbeinu would have come into Eretz Yisrael, but it destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. The worst event in history, Chet of Meraglim. So Yeshua Ben Nun now does it again. So the Malbim in his Pirush here in Tanakh, the Malbim makes distinctions. He actually gets five. He comes up with five distinctions from Moshe Rabbeinu's Meraglim to Yeshua's Meraglim. Some of the distinctions are small, some are a little bigger. He says Moshe Rabbeinu sent out 12. Yeshua Ben Nun only sent out 2 Meraglim. He makes a difference between Meraglim and Torim. Right? Meraglim is more practical. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it says both. Also says Losur Esaretz. Over here, it's only Leragel. No Torim. Another thing he says, Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim on behalf of the people. The people came to Moshe, they said, Shlach lanu. Anoshim. We asked for Meraglim. Ultimately, the Meraglim were our people. We wanted Meraglim. By Yeshua Ben Nun, he sent the Meraglim. These are the distinctions that the Malbim makes from Yeshua Ben Nun's Meraglim. Another distinction. They were right near Eretz Yisrael already. So it wasn't like Yeshua Ben Nun. They were already going in. Klal Yisrael were more vulnerable. The time of Moshe, because it still was Mimidbar Paran, it was still a distant away, and they weren't mamish going in. Another chiluk. Another distinction the Malbim makes is that if you look at this shlichus, it was mainly just to look at Yerichoy. He uses the lashon l'churu es ha'aretz es yirichoi. So the Malbim says that primarily, predominantly, Yishuv ben Nun told him to seek out yirichoi and a little bit around, and that's it. Bekitzer, less extensive. If you take all of the Malbim's distinctions, basically he's saying it was very watered down. It was a very watered down plan. Moshe Rabbeinu was an extensive miraglim. Klal Yisrael were very involved. There was a lot of them. It was a whole trip. It was losar es haaretz. So basically, if I take the entire Malbim, his chiddush, what he's saying here, and I tell it to you, I capsulize it, basically the Malbim is saying, Moshe Rabbeinu sent spies in a very comprehensive way. The people were involved. The king was involved. And Yeshua ben Nun was a yeshiva shemaisim. It was only two of them. It was only Yeshua. It was cheresh. It was quiet. No tumult. The problem I have is the Malbim is coming to answer the Pella. Right? So he's giving us an Eitzah. Okay. The Malbim's Eitzah I hear is a B'di'evet Eitzah. Meaning, if we would start this Sefer and say, you know what? Why did Yeshua's Meraglim work and Moshe's Meraglim didn't work? If that was the question, I get the answer. I understand the answer. If I would have readdressed the question, and instead of asking the question I asked, I would have said, Rabbi Isai, Moshe sent out 12 Meraglim and it failed. Yeshua sent out Meraglim and it succeeded. So now we could start explaining, well, there was a difference, and that's why it succeeded. But that wasn't our question. Our question was, why risk it? That was our question. That was the question we had. Somebody goes on a hike. They go down a mountain. They have these hikes where you go up the mountain. Right? So some of these mountains are so shreklach that only about 8 or 9% of the people that have tried to go up make it. Right? So if you hear of a catastrophe and you hear that somebody fell off and Nebuch died, you don't say, well, you know what? I'm also going to go up. I'll take, Mitzvah Hashem, I'll take a double set of everything that I need. You say, I'm not going there. I went with the children to near New Hampshire on a trip. So they had a mountain where you take a cable car, takes you up with your bike, top of the mountain, and you go down with this big, you know, mountain bike, a real mountain bike. Not today, everything's a mountain, a real mountain bike. Big tires. And you go straight down. Mamasha. Maybe 5% of the people get injured on the way down. Yeah? As soon as we heard that, we just turned around and came back down. Go up there because I have a better shot. Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael. There was a collision. We all died. Failed. Miserable failure. Till end of time. Miserable failure. So what does Yeshua ben Nun? He comes back, he goes, okay, you know what? Let me do it again. I'll try to make some differences. I'll water it down a little bit. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll work. That's enough? That's enough to do it? Maybe it'll work. Let's skydive. Last time the parachute didn't work. Maybe it'll work this time. If a guy went off a plane, only one time it's going to take. You go off a plane, you try to skydive in the, and it doesn't work. And the parachute doesn't open up. You're not doing it again. First of all, you probably won't be able to do it again. But assuming that some b'derech nes you got saved, you're not trying it again. Yeshua ben Nun is now trying again? It's a pshat. It's a pella. Now, so that question is l'chora not answered by the Malbim. The Malbim is explaining that it wasn't quite as risky, was not quite as risky as Moshe's miracle. But why risk? Why risk? Pella. The first pasuk tells us something that's even more astounding. At the beginning, you start reading this perek, it sounds like it's going to be worse of a story than we read in Chas V'Shalom and Parashat Shlach. It's going to be worse of a story. Because Parashat Shlach, everything looks pretty benign till they come back. Gvad Chazal Darshan Vayelchu Vayavoyu Ma Biosum Beitzerah Falichosum Beitzerah. But if you read the story of the Meraglim in Parashat Shlach, it sounds very benign. Till they come back, it sounds very benign. They went, they checked, they looked. Everything sounds good. When they come back, they give a bad report. Right? Over here, what does the pasuk tell you? The first pasuk. Read the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? They went, where'd they go? They didn't go to the local base matters. Zok the pasuk. Vayelchu vayavoyu beis isha zoyna ushmo rochav. They go to a zoyna? This is where you go? It sounds much worse than Parashat Shlach. Parashat Shlach, they did what Moshe told them to do. I didn't see in Yeshua Benun telling them, Leimor luchu el rochav hazoyna. I don't think Yeshua Benun is sending to Talmidim, to Rochav HaZayna. Those of you that learned Megillah, remember about Rochav HaZayna. Nishkin Gleisa, not a very hush of a place to visit. Right? It's not from the Pegisha. They have now a place called Pegisha. It's a place for a person who has a shidduch, they want to know where to go. They have a Rochav HaZayna wasn't on the Pegisha list. Why Meraglim going there? It's true. There was a transformation. Rochav HaZayna, you should know that the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel is so bothered by this that he actually doesn't learn like the Bavli. The Bavli says Rochav HaZayna is Rochav HaZayna, the infamous Rochav HaZayna. The worst place for any Jewish man to go. Right? That's how the Gemara learns. Okay? The Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel says, we're talking about here, we're not talking about a zayna. We're talking about an isha pundokis. If you look at the Targum Yonasan on this pasuk, it doesn't make sense then that this could have been. See, he says, "Zok the Targum Yonasan pundokisa." She was mecheres mine mezaynis. She ran a bakery. The word zayna comes from the lashon mezayin. Bar mine mezaynis. Okay. Nishkefelach, then we only have a shiloh pas Yisrael, pas Akum, Nishkefelach. This is before they made the gzera of pas. Not such a big problem. But that's the pshat of the Targum Yonis. But if you look at Mesechah Zvochem, Daf Kuf Tezvov, the Gemara says, Zayna is a Zayna. And she was from the worst of the worst. So now this looks even worse than what the Meraglim did in the time of Moshe. I'm a Chappelle. Okay, strategy-wise, there's all kinds of pshat. That maybe there was a strategy. Strategy was, Rochav HaZayna had a lot of traffic. She had people coming and going, because that was her, Nebuchadnezzar, her Parnassa. So therefore, it won't look so bad. It won't raise suspicion. Basically, this was the lomdish pshat in what Yeshua ben Nun meant, meaning they Shubin said, keep it quiet, Choresh. Everything should be shashtil. It's another pshat. How do we keep it shashtil? We go to a place where everybody's going and coming and it won't be noticeable. They're not going to think it's a spies. This is like, even in the 30 years that I'm in Chinuch, and I tell a Talmud something and they get a whole new pshat on what I meant, and they do it, but this krum I never heard as a kumkai. That's pshat and what I meant. I never had with a Talmud. You should say, that this is what I meant. That I never heard. So that's, some want to say like that, that this is what they touched up, what Yeshua ben Nun meant, maybe. But it's really a pella. Now, the fact is that it was very successful. The trip was very successful. If you want to know how successful this trip was, Chazal tell us that Rochav HaZoino reached a level that night higher than Yisroi, higher than anybody else reached in being Makar Hashem. Because Rochav HaZoino tells the Meraglim in Pasuk Yud Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greater from everything, B'Shamay Mimal, V'Aloretz Mitochas. Hashem is the greatest from all. So Chazal tell us, Godol Mashenema, this is the Yalkut Shemoni over here. Godol Mashenema, it's greater what it says by Rochav than even what it says by Yisrael, even more than what it says by Namun. Because Yisrael just said, Godol Hashem Mikol Olakim, Mikol Elohim. So he was recognizing Hashem, but he was also recognizing the Avodah Zarah. Naaman said, Ein ke Elohim b'chol ha'aretz. But Rochav said something even more, that there's nobody like Hashem, not mimal, and not b'aretz mitachas. So it's true that somehow this trip was successful. So now we're talking about Yeshua ben Nun taking a tremendous risk on a national proportions that Yeshua ben Nun took. And the Meraglim took a tremendous risk to go to Rochav HaZoino, a personal risk, a personal spiritual risk that the Meraglim took to go to Rochav HaZoino. Chazal tells us it was Shreklach. So it's true, they succeeded. Not only weren't they Nichshel with her, but she went all the way to the highest Madrigas. According to one Medrash, she married Yeshua ben Nun. She was Mizgayer. She married Yeshua ben Nun. It's true. I don't question the successes. My question is the risks. Why do such risky behavior? Doesn't make sense. Hotlish Kimpshat, there has to be a bio. The Medrash Tanchume talks about this shluach of the Meraglim, of Yeshua. And the Medrash actually says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a tremendous chavivus for these Meraglim. We know in the time of Moshe, Hashem didn't like the Meraglim. Hashem told him, Shlach lecha, l'daitcha, I'm not part of this. Right? The Baruch Hu was not happy with the Meraglim in the time of Moshe. These Meraglim Hashem was happy with. If you want to get an idea how happy Hashem was, so the Medrash Tanchuma says, Ein lecha chaviv lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash Tanchum, beginning of Parashat Shlach. Kishliach mitzvah mishtalech lemitzvah v'noisei nafshei kedei shetatzliach. There's nobody that Hashem loves more than somebody who gives up his life to do the mission that Hashem wants of him. And says the Medrash, Ve'ein lecha bnei adam ke'elu la'asos mitzvah v'noisei nafshei. So Chazal are telling us that this is historically the most chashuv a mission of all time. Could you imagine? Most chashuv. Then Chazal zero into the Rochav HaZoino. Chazal say, Kivon shehochu levaksham, she went to Rochav HaZoino, and she had to hide them. So the Pasuk says, Vatitz Pinoy. If you look at the Pasuk here, it says, Vatitz Pinoy. She hid him. So it switches from Lashon Rabbah, Vatikach Oysom. She took them, she took the Meraglim. And then it says, Vatitz Pinoy. She hid him. So the Medrash Tanchuma says, Omar Pinchas. Pinchas told Rochav HaZoino, Ani Koyein, the Kohanim Kimalochim. He said, I'm a Kohen, I'm like a malach. Kishani roitza ani niru, kishani roitza ani niru. It's not a peldik chazal. Since when do we find that a kohen could become invisible? But this is what he tells Rachav Azeh. He says, I'm a kohen, and a kohen is like a malach. If I want, I could be visible. If I want, I could be invisible. He tells her, you don't have to hide me. You only have to hide Kolev. These two miraglim, one was Pinchas and one was Kolev. He says, you don't have to hide me. I can make myself invisible. Lekach Nemar, says the Medrash, Shenema vatikach ha'isho eshtei anoshim, vatitz penoi. Eini oime vatitz penei, elo vatitz penoi. Says the Medrash, you want to have an idea how much they were moist in Nefesh? You see that Pinchas turned invisible. How does that show you that they were moist in Nefesh? Pinchas told it very simple. I'm a Kohen. Kohen is compared to a Malach. If I want, I'm visible. And if I want, I'm invisible. Now I'm going to become invisible. So the Medrash, now you see how much they were moist in Nefesh. What do you see, Mr. Nefesh? What do you see that they were Mr. Nefesh? All it says is, he became invisible. He had a koyach. He had a koyach to become invisible. And he cashed in on the fact that he was able to become invisible. What do you see from there? Mamish Apella. Rabbi Yankov Zatzal used to say, we know shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin. There's a rule called shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin. There's a gemara in Saita. There's Gemara in Makis, that somebody who does a mitzvah is protected. He has protection. Right. That's the rule. Okay, if it's shchich hazekah, if you do something that's dangerous, not necessarily going to be protected. But stamazay, mitzvah be'idna da'ostik bo'migni, protects you. Okay? Says Reb Yankiv, that's only begashmis. Beruchnis, there's no automatic protection. Somebody does a mitzvah, and they risk their spirituality to do the mitzvah, so that's not, you're not automatically going to be saved. I remember when I was a kid, there was an organization, they used to do a lot of good outreach. The problem is, everything was mixed. Men and women and the boys and the girls, everything was all one big challenge. But they tried to do outreach. So I once heard from one of the Gedalim, he's talking about this organization. I'm not going to say because it's not negate what the organization is. He said, this organization is like the Por Adume. It's Metame Esat Tohoyim and it's Metayer Esat Tomei. Because the people, the frum people that are trying to help are falling into whatever they're falling into, and the other ones are. Rabbi Yankov said, there's no automatic protection when you go and do a spiritual thing. However, if you're moiser nefesh, if you really put yourself out for that mitzvah with your heart and soul, then it protects you spiritually as well. And that's what the Medrash Tanchum is saying. The Medrash Tanchum is saying, yes, there is such a thing as immunity. Real immunity. But that's only tzaddikim on this level that are doing it mesiras nefesh mamish. That's what the Medrash means. Ein lecha choviv kakadosh baruch hu. Like somebody who's moisa nefesh al shlichusam, ko'oisam shnei tzadikim. So they, Taka, had some level of immunity. They had immunity. And they were able to do this risky shlichus. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll talk exactly what that immunity is. But that was the immunity that Yeshua ben Nun knew they had. And that was the immunity they themselves knew that they had. Now, a person is still not supposed to put himself at risk. You know, still doesn't explain that. There's a Rashbam in Bava Basra. The Rashbam says that if somebody goes to a place, this is very negah, especially now with the whole, you know, internet issues that come up all the time. The Rashbam says a fascinating thing. The Gemara says that a person, Oitzimeinim Mirois Barah, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Perkheskes Abatim, that if somebody closes his eyes from seeing bad, it praises him. So the Gemara says, what's the case? So the Gemara says, this is somebody who sees women that are not dressed properly, and he closes his eyes. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Idi kadak achrina. If he has another way to go, meaning he's walking down the street, he can either take Thompson Street or Jefferson Street. Thompson Street has compromised the things in the street, and Jefferson Street is clean. He picks Thompson. He goes down Thompson Street, and he closes his eyes. The Gemara says, Rasha hu. He closed his eyes. The Gemara says, Rasha hu. Zofter Rashbam. Af al pi shoyt semenov. Meaning, even if you won the Nisayan, but if you put yourself into the Nisayan, that's also Rasha hu. Your job in this world is not to flirt with Nisayanis. Your job is to stay away from Nisayanis. If they come your way, then you overcome them. Your job is not to put yourself into Nisayan. So there is a stira, I'm sure you're all thinking of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin, where the Gemara brings down that there were a bunch of Amiloyim, they had a shaila, what street to go down. One street had Avodah Zarah, and the other street had Zaynus. Which one should they go? Obviously, they had to go down one of them. So the Gemara says, first they said, better let's go with Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah, the Yetzirah, is already Gishacht. Anshek Nezagdela. That Avodah Zarah is not a strong Avodah Zarah. The other man Domer said, no. Let's go down Dafka the street with the Zionists. Nekabali Gretrei will get more reward for conquering the Yetzirah. So Taka did it, Siv Mi Valojan, in the Sefer Moroi Mesod, he is the Stira. That the Gemara of Basra says that even if you close your eyes, you're a Rasha. If you go down a place where you don't have to go, right? You go to a place where you don't have to go, and you close your eyes. This is not a joke. I had a conversation with a Talmud about 23 years ago. He went to a movie. It was the old days when people went to movies, movie theater. I gave him a whole Musa Shmuz about movies, about this. He said, Rebbe, I'm telling you, it was Mamisha. The movie was like Kodesh Kodesh. There's no such thing as Kodesh Kodesh movies. And it wasn't a Kodesh Kodesh movie at the end. In fact, he told me at the end the Taka wasn't so Kodesh Kodesh. But he said, Rebbe, what I do is anytime there's something that's not nice, I close my eyes. Mamish like this Rashbam. He was mechaven to the Rosh of the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Oitzimeinov, Roshu. He's a Rosh. So he's like the Rashbam, Roshu. So you have to understand that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah seems to be saying, yeah, put yourself into the Nisayan and conquer it, and you'll be even better. Go to the movie. Close your eyes. Noch besser. The Gemara in Bava Basra is saying, you're a Rasha. Rashbam says, you're a Rasha if you go to a place in the Nisayan. So you have to somehow merge these, what's pshat in these two sugis. So tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
Say a demo tomorrow? Because I felt very far.